Yedid Nafshi, Rav Yemin Goldsmith, and to be here with you this evening. What a privilege you have, Zchus Avos, to be able to spend the year with Rav Goldsmith. Coming from very chashuva families, I'm sure, and the zchuyot that you yourselves have, take advantage of every single moment. Ashreichem. Till 9 o'clock. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. The sheets made it around. The upper right-hand corner of the sheet, the famous Gemara, Ta'anit Daf Chaf Gimel, Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Reda Shmuel Bar Shilat. Kishem Shemi Shenichnas Av Mema'atin B'Simcha, Kach Mi Shenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. So for tonight, we're not speaking about Av, and we're not speaking about Adar. But what we see from here, from this Gemara, it's an important take-home message for the whole year. And the fact that when we spend some time trying to understand, to hear a specific message of every month, we realize that every single month has a certain, almost a personality to it. There's a certain message. Something is more ripe during that time, during each month, for us to go and tap into that, connect to that message, and learn from it. So during certain months, it's very clear there's something that's almost in our face, like these mentioned right here. Whether it's the simcha of Adar, we understand there's something high voltage in terms of simcha during that time, and we can tap in to ideas of simcha and experiencing simcha, understanding simcha, feeling simcha during Adar time in a way that, again, it's more accessible than the rest of the year. During Av, there's something connected, more constricted, mema'atin b'simcha, more reserved, and we connect to those ideas. Bekach, every single month, we're coming out of a period of time during Tishrei, or El and Tishrei, with the El being the essence of the month is the build-up, really, towards Tishrei, already starting to blow the shofar every single day during El, according to certain minhagim, the minhagim of Sfardim, saying Slichot every day during El. And then everybody, Ashkenazim as well, joining in toward, at the end of El, Rosh Hashanah going into high gear, Rosh Hashanah, continued Slichot, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, all of the experiences of the Chagim of Tishrei in a very high voltage way. And now we come to, we want to spend a couple of minutes, speaking about tonight. And we make that transition then from Tishrei into Cheshvan. And all of a sudden, silence kicks in. All of a sudden, the only thing that we hear is the sound of silence. And I really wanted to spend the time right now trying to understand in a little bit of a deeper way to think about something which I think very often we don't think about it, because usually we're involved in doing and speaking and activity. And the silence is there almost as a filler. It's almost something which starts to become a little bit uncomfortable. Okay? We're trying to avoid, we're trying to fill those gaps, close those gaps. There's something to silence. Something there. And we see, and especially now in modern times with different forms of social media, we see that very often, it's interesting, when you find out the person who, when you're around them, they seem very quiet. And then you find out, wow, do they have what to say? they're like nonstop talking. There's so much. They're speaking. But when you're in front of them, there could be silence. It's almost like two different waves of communication. So I want to speak about to try to understand, learn about, bring to the surface maybe, different aspects of silence. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot tells us, Shimon beno Omer, Kol yomai gadalti ben hachachamim, velo matzati laguf tov ela shtika. So here this raises the stock of silence tremendously. A Mishnah, we have Tanayim that are putting silence onto a pedestal, something very valuable. What is the value of silence? So at first, I think that very often what we think of when we think about the benefits of being quiet, the benefits of silence, very often it's on the side of what's called, we can call it a sur meira, moving away from problems. We spoke about the transition from Tishrei into Cheshvan. So in Tishrei, on Yom Kippur time, we spent a lot of the time in the Al Chetz speaking about different problems, different chatayim connected to speech. Lashon Hara, Rechilut, Sheker, Nivul Peh, not speaking appropriately, not speaking in a refined way, which is appropriate to us as human beings, as for sure as Jews, and speaking in a coarse and crude way. So in all of these, when we move into that realm of silence, there's something that we are keeping away from, we're playing it safe. We make sure we don't get into any problems. We stay away. We stay away from problems, and that can be an advantage of shtika. So that's true. That's definitely true. But at the same time, if we're talking about a Mishnah that is saying Kol Yamai Gadalti Min Chachamim, there's something here that the wise men value. Something here that is even richer with wisdom. And that's the point that the Maharal picks up on here in his Perush. The Maharal, you know, the Maharal has many Svarim, many different Perushim and different avenues. So he has one of his Svarim is called Derech Achayim, a Perush on Pirkei Avot. And the Maharal here takes the idea of shtika from the side of sur meira, the value, the benefit of being just, keeping away from the negative, and turns it around into, from passive, turns it around into active. Something which helps build us, not just keep away on the side of a seito, not just the side of sur meira. We're not going to read the whole paragraph here, but let's learn together some of the words here of the Maharal. The Maharal writes, again on this Mishnah, Uperush lo matzati laguf tov ela shtika ratza lomar b'ma sheha'adam bal guf yafelo hashtika. Let's read a couple of lines together and go back and try to understand what the Maharal is saying. Ratza lomar b'ma sheha'adam bal guf yafelo hashtika. וזהו, כי הדיבור הוא נפש המדברת, אשר נפש המדברת הוא כוח גופני, שהדיבור כוח גופני, ואינו שכלי לגמרי. לכך ראוי לו השתיקה שלא יבוא לידי טעות ושיבוש, כי כאשר הוא פועל בכוח הדיבורי, מבטל כוח השכלי, כמו שיתבאר בסמוך, לקח ישתוק ויהיה פועל בכוח השכלי אשר אינו גופני כמו שהוא דיבורי שלא ימלט מן הטעות. What is the Maharal saying here? So So some of the terminology here is just a matter of getting used to Maral terminology. An idea, a very basic idea that we're all familiar with, but not necessarily familiar with the Maral terms for it. We're familiar with the two sides of man, the two sides of a Jew, of Chomer and Ruach, the physical and the spiritual. And that's one of the basic ideas of Torah, is bringing together the partnership between the two sides of who we are, where on one side of us, that's the reality, is we are physical beings, and we experience this world in a physical way, the physical experiences in this world. And the other side is recognizing the fact that we have a spirit, we have a neshama inside, the side of the ruach. A chomer v'haruach. That's another term. Chomriyut. Gufani, gashmi, all of these terms, gufani, gashmi, chomri, arsa, are terms that are used to identify the physical side of man. We talk about the partnership. This is what right at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah speak about, at the beginning of Birkot HaShachar and the bracha of Asher Yatzar, not only do we say in the morning, but throughout the day. Asher Yatzar, the lashon of mafli la'asot. Mafli is a lashon, what does pele mean? Pele? Wonder, right? Wonderment. It's amazing. There's something amazing here. A pele. What's the pele? Explains the Ramah. Shemikasher ben hagashmi v'haruchani. It's amazing. There's something amazing going on in the way that we function as people, that we have the two sides of, we have a kesher between, connecting between the gashmi and the ruchani. And that's what part of what we're being mevarech in the brach of Asher Yatzar, recognizing that it's so amazing and thanking Hashem for that as well, especially, and it's mentioned there in the context in the morning, when we have the bracha smucha l'chavrta, the connection between the bracha of Elokai Neshama and Asher Yatzar. But in addition to Elokai Neshama, focusing on the Neshama, and Asher Yatzar and the Guf, is throughout the function, the way that we continue to function throughout the day, is connecting between these two sides, the spiritual and the physical. But coming back to our point as far as speech, the Maral is saying here, in this context, and it's a speech you could say is maybe a little bit, there are aspects of it that can go either way, and sometimes that's discussed as well. But here in this context, the Maral is referring to speech as a physical action, as opposed to what? What's the term that the Maral puts on the other side? Koach. As opposed to the koach hagufani, the side of nefesh hamidaber, the speech, the other side here that the Maral mentions is what? Yefer. Koach hasichli. In Maral terminology, koach hasichli is for that side of the ruach, of the spirit. Sichli and gashmi. Or sichli here, sichli and chomri. Seichel and Chomer, the Seichel, the spirit, connected to the spiritual side, and the Chomer, the physical side. So the Maral says, sum up the idea in a very straightforward, basic way, the Maral is saying that this Mishnah is teaching us. Kol yamai gadalti ben hachachamim, people who value Chachma, people who value that side of Tzad HaSichli and the Tzad HaRuchani. The Tzad, combining the two together, Tzad, right? Tzad and the side together. People who value that side of the spirit and of the Seichel. I learned the importance of silence, meaning the importance of letting the physical side take a back seat, so that the primary in the front seat, the Seichel, can develop. In very basic terms, as far as speech is concerned, sometimes you're speaking about an idea and you want to write, sometimes you see this with younger children. I remember Nebuch, one of my kids, I was at a, this happened to have taken place over Pesach. We were at a hotel for Pesach. It was right after my wife gave birth, 3 days a week actually before Pesach. So we went away for that Pesach, and over Yontif there was a quiz for the kids, a chidon that somebody was running in the hotel, and my son at the time was 5 or 6 years old. And he was so anxious to answer every question. As soon as the person started asking the questions in the quiz, right away he raised his hand and started talking and blurted out the answer. And one after the other, he was wrong. He wasn't even hearing the question. He just was so anxious to get the prize for winning the chidon. He blurted out the answer right away. And I felt I was dying for him. And then a bad question after question. I felt so bad for him. He wasn't even hearing. You have that side that it's called in Hebrew, dachav, that push sometimes. You want to go ahead and blurt things out. And sometimes not only in a contest kind of situation, but just even in a social setting. Or speaking about something. Sometimes we're so sure that we know, we're so anxious to get out, we start speaking, we jump the gun in terms of our speech, and we don't let our mind process. We don't take a back seat to the seichel. And wait a second, there's a term for an aspect of foolishness. And in this context, it was my son, my 5-year-old, 6-year-old son was being foolish. But there's a concept of an aspect of a fool, which is Chazal referred to as a hedyot kofetz l'rosh. Somebody is a simpleton who goes, jumps, places himself forward, puts himself on the dais, and he's a simpleton. He should. You have sometimes a situation. It's almost I feel embarrassed for the guy because he's making a fool out of himself. Or someone who, seen sometimes at weddings, a guy who, if you know what's going on, and the guest list, you know that this certain guy, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven just made the cut on the friends of, right, the friends of the Chatan side. He decided, okay, you know what, I'll invite Reuven also. I just made it. And then inside, the dancing, Reuven is there and hogging the dance floor, and he's in the center of all the dancing and taking the chasen and dancing with all the time, and he's making a fool out of himself. You know, okay, it's great, go ahead and dance, but realize your place. It takes a certain amount of wisdom to know your place, what's appropriate. Okay, great, go, dance, but that doesn't mean you have to be in the center. Don't be a hedyot, simpleton, kofetz l'rosh, jumping forward the whole time. And part of our physical being, part of it is foolish in that way, that when it's lacking self-control, self-discipline, our speech, the physical side connected to our speech, we'll start speaking right away. Yeah, I know, and we won't have the discipline to say, no, I don't know. And let me listen first. Let me try to process. And that's what the Maharal is saying here, that in a healthy situation, a chacham will know to first know that they don't know. And shtika, wait. Process, let the seichel itself work, and then afterwards go ahead. That's really the same idea, very similar, parallel idea that Rav Kook here on the right-hand side of the sheet is speaking about in his Sefer Orot HaKodesh. When did Rav Kook live? We're talking about Rav Kook, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, the first chief rabbi in Israel, before the establishment of the state. Does anyone know when Rav Kook lived? He was Nifter in 1935. He lived from 1865 to 1935. He came from Europe to Israel. In the middle of his life, first he was in Tel Aviv, Yafo area, a Rav there, and then was called to Yerushalayim, became Rav HaRashi. So one of the, as many Svarim, and one of the Svarim that was put together by the Nazir, his Talmud Chaver, Rav David HaKohen, the Nazir, is Orot HaKodesh, and this piece that you have here is from Orot HaKodesh, Chelek Gimel, speaking about Eit Lechashot ve'Eit Ledaber, a time to be quiet and a time to speak. And here already the Lechashot, being quiet in Cheshvan, a time of silence, Mechisha, But he's not speaking about Cheshvan, he's just speaking in general about the two ideas. And Rav Kook writes in his poetic way. We'll just read here some of the piece. Hirus gadol ba b'ma'archei haruach. Tremendous, what is heres? Laharos, to destroy. Tremendous destruction comes to the systems, the frameworks of the spirit. Kishemofia ha'or ha'primi shel et lachashot. When the time of being quiet has surfaced, has appeared, va'ilmut ha'kedosha ha'elyona b'kol hod kvoda u'v'kovid masa'a hi memaleh et kol ha'neshama. At a time when he calls it the holiness of the of being quiet with all of its glory fills the soul. So if at this time, a time where the holiness, when it's the call of the moment is for the silence, so there's tremendous destruction to the soul, to the systems of the ruach brought about, if what? Im yimrod b'ha'adam, if man will rebel against this kingdom of noble, kingdom of silence, v'yifrotz lidaber, and it will break through, start speaking, merida zu b'malchut adomia machrevet et kol binyana. This rebellion against the kingdom of silence destroys all of its buildings. Meaning, during the times of silence, during the times of listening first, there's a process of development taking place. There's something that is being built. And when someone is kofetz l'rosh, or personally, someone starts speaking right away, doesn't let, or even, you know, you could be speaking without speaking, but the idea is that if you don't let the process to continue to reach a sophisticated, deep level, and right away, you cut it short, yeah, I know that. Like it's p'chinas. P'chinas, like, been there, done that. You ever try to encourage someone to come with you and experience something which you know that they'll appreciate very much, they'll appreciate the experience. They think they know what it's all about, and they'll tell you, no, it's okay, right? Like with whatever words, but the message is, been there, done that, and no. And you're on the other side and saying, chaval, it's like you're not letting yourself experience a richer experience because you're closing yourself off, yourself content, and that's it. So that is machrevet et kol binyanav. Let's skip a little bit to the underlying point. Ba'maskil ba'etai yidon. Somebody with sechel will know at that time when it's the call of the moment is silence, they will know to be quiet. Amnam, but it doesn't stop there. That's not the end of the teaching of Rav Kook. That's half the teaching. If we end the teaching here, we're not only, right, that's not our religion, right, only remaining in silence. I don't know if you noticed on the drive to Shalavim, to the SFM, right, the ride to the yeshiva, I don't know if you noticed when you enter the Ayalon Valley, before you arrive at the yeshiva, and you get off the highway on the left-hand side, there's a huge building. Anyone notice that? There's a tank museum over on the left side, and then opposite the tank museum, anyone know what that building is? The Latrun Monastery. The monastery on the other side of the valley. On the other side of Emek Ayalon. So in the monastery, they remain here. They remain, okay, we can end our sitash here right now, and that's it, remaining in silence, and that's it. But we're not on the other side of the valley, okay? We're talking about knowing, we are interested in the two sides, in knowing how to tap in, to benefit from what silence has to offer, but then continue a process. That's what Rav Kook continues saying here. Amnam kashe yiten la'adomiya et kvoda be'et hofa'ata. When we have the wisdom, the seichel, to respect this noble, holy kingdom of silence, when it appears, as tanhighi et mishtara, then it will do its thing. And then it'll allow for a process to develop, a process which eventually, we'll skip again to the last underlined part, eventually it will continue and totzi peirot va'anafim ne'edarim bekoach tzomeach gadol v'ra'anan. There'll be a process of building, of growing, of blossoming. Hasichim yimalu koach. The branches, the bushes, that which is growing, which will gain strength, and v'yavo niv sfatayim. Eventually, will give forth niv sfatayim, fruits of the lips. In other words, speech then, in this form, is a process bringing about higher level, classier, more worthwhile words, achaka, niv sfatayim. That's really the shoresh of nivua, a navi, is from this word of niv sfatayim. Because the words of a navi are words that are the most special, classiest, delicious fruits that eventually are processed and developed coming out of his lips. Niv sfatayim. So in short, we've seen, number one, we mentioned as far as silence, we discussed level number one, keeping away from problems. Level number two, we discussed here in the Maharal and the Rav Kook, allowing for a process of development to bring about the two stages of the silence and then the speech to bring about higher level speech afterwards, knowing the wisdom of knowing that we don't know, so that afterwards we can end up reaching a point where we know. And sadly enough, in the way of the world, we see very often, again, lacking this self-control, this discipline, we end up with a situation where those who don't know are the ones that are speaking the most, and those who know are often quiet because their words are being drowned out by all of those who don't know who are speaking. But in an ideal situation, again, you have the proper balance between the two. But from here, I want to continue and take it to one more level. Maybe it's the same core idea, but bringing about even in a stronger kind of way of expression in terms of the message that the silence sometimes has. Maybe summed up in the strongest and shortest way by the bottom words here on the right-hand side of the sheet, the words of the Kotzker. The Menachem Mendel Mikotz that says, Ein tzaka yoter gdola mehashtika. What does that mean? So I don't know what this situation is for you, but I'm sure for all of you, you've had situations where you have so much to say that whenever you try, whenever you attempt to go and put it into specific words, you feel that the words did not do justice to what you were trying to express. Maybe if somebody had some powerful moments, let's use the example of the transition from Tishrei to Cheshvan. Maybe somebody had some powerful moments of tefillah on Yom Kippur. And then maybe it was a ne'ilah that was more powerful than you experienced beforehand. Maybe for some of you. And then you're on the phone the next day and you're updating your parents. You got a question. Okay, so how was Yom Kippur? And you start trying to put into words, oh yeah, it was great, you know, whatever, it was nice, it was okay. If it were in a situation or whatever the example is, I'm just using that as a possibility of a situation where if somebody had a powerful experience, then they'll find, and that kind of follow-up conversation afterwards with it's usually almost impossible. In that kind of a setting, ein tzaka yoter gedola me'ashtiga. Sometimes kol ha'mosif harei zegorea. Sometimes in that kind of situation, the more that you add, you're really taking away. Another possible example I find during a wedding, some of the most special moments during a wedding, the point of right before the badekin, the chazan and the kala haven't seen each other for a week. And on one hand, they haven't seen each other for a week, and at the same time, you know now, they're going now towards the building of their house, the new beginning. There's such big moments. And you see that moment where the chatan and the kala see each other at first, and then they'll come over to put the veil over her face. And I'm always curious, like, what goes on then? And very often you see that there's just silence. Because, at least that's how it was in my wedding. Because, like, what? I wasn't sure. I don't remember exactly. I asked my wife afterwards, like, did we speak to each other then? Like, and then what could you say? Like, what? So she said, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, what are you going to say then in those moments? The only thing that you can say then is shtika. That's a tzaka of shtika. There's so much, it's beyond. There's a story of two Hasidic giants, Rav Mendel of Vorka and the Trisker Magid, who were very good friends. And even after they were leaders in their separate communities, they wanted to keep up a correspondence. So Rav Mendel Vorka used to send a letter with one of his chassidim to go. He had to walk for hours and hours to deliver the letter to the Trisker Magid. And then he would take a letter back from the Trisker Magid back to Rav Mendel Vorka once a week. So the chassid was a good chassid, a reliable chassid, and he did his job week after week, and he did it. The Simcha, the Rebbe asked me to go ahead and deliver his letter. I guess it's important. A week after week after week after week, eventually, he got a little bit curious. Like, I wonder what the Rebbe is sending. What kind? I wonder what he wrote here in this letter. What he's sending to the Trisker Magid. And then the first week that this idea came to his mind, he said, "Nah, it's not right. You know, it's not right. It's not appropriate that I should be reading his mail." But a few more weeks go by, and he can't control himself anymore. Mendel gave him the letter. He's on the way, and he's walking in the middle. He has the audacity, and he opens up the letter. And he finds inside, he takes out the sheet of paper. He finds a blank sheet of paper. And he is fuming. He's walking hours and hours, and this is week after week. He puts it back in the envelope, goes ahead, gives it to the Trisker Magid, comes back to Vorki, and the first Shabbos that he's back, Rav Mendel sees that this chassid, the delivery boy chassid, is in the back. You know, he's really out of things, very cold, distant. Keeping his distance from the Rebbe, he's like there, but not there. Sees this on Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Shabbos afternoon. After Abdullah, he calls over the chassam. Yagla, what's going on? What happened? You look like this. So at first the chassam, no, it's okay. Everything's okay. It's fine. The Rebbe says, Yagla, what's going on? I see you're not yourself. You're upset about them. He pushes him some more, and finally the uncle of the chassid opens up and says, Rebbe, I'll tell you the truth. You know, I've been doing what you said week after week, I have no problems with it. I'm doing it besimcha, everything. But what are you after? You're making a fool out of me. Rebbe says, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Says Rebbe, you know, maybe it wasn't right, maybe I shouldn't have done it, but I ended up doing it. I couldn't contain myself. I opened up the letter. I saw in there what was there. I saw the blank piece of paper. What are you making a fool out of me? Mendel says, Yankel, I understand what you're thinking, but let me explain. You know, the Triska Magid is my best friend. And week after week, I'm writing to him. I'm sharing Torah ideas, sharing thoughts. I have questions. We send questions back and forth, things to think about. But sometimes, I just want to go ahead and express the friendship that I have, the appreciation that I have for the fact that I have such a good friend, the Triska Magid. And I can't put anything into the words, so I just go ahead, the way the maximum expression that I have is I express that through the shtika of the blank piece of paper. And that's what you found out. You have on the left-hand side of the sheet the Gilui to Eliyahu, famous psukim, great revelation, which is a kind of a really, Mefarshim speak about a parallelism between this revelation to Eliyahu and the revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Am Yisrael at Maamad Har Sinai. You have the psukim in Malachim. We won't go through all the psukim. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Tzei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, tell you, Tzei va'amadata b'har lifnei Hashem, v'nei Hashem over, v'ruach gedola, v'chazak. Mifarek harim, a strong wind comes that is so strong that it takes apart, the breaks up the rock, it takes apart the mountain, u'mishaber slahim, breaks the rock, lifnei Hashem. But is this the point of the revelation? No. Lo beruach Hashem. Hashem is not revealing himself in the ruach. Next step. Va'achar haruach rash. After the wind, this tremendous noise, this rash, and still here. Lo berash Hashem. This is not yet the revelation. Va'achar harash ish. A tremendous flare, a tremendous fire appears in front of Eliyahu. Lo be'esh Hashem. After all of this, after the wind, and after the noise, after the fire, v'achar ha'esh, kol demama daka. Sound of silence. Right? The silence afterwards that kicks in at the moment. This is where there's a gilui, a revelation to Eliyahu. And plugging it into the months of the year, and something which is also, it's very beautiful that the year that we have, this year, in terms of coming to Eretz Yisrael and having some time in Elul and in the Yamim Tovim, and now setting off into the winter, we see a certain pattern here. And this pattern surfaces many times in life. A pattern where at first there's a blast of inspiration, of fire and music and shofar, which is the p'china of the month of El, of Tishrei, where there's an explosion of spiritual experiences. And then we move from there, from Tishrei, into the silence of Cheshvan. We're here, we reach the stage two, where the challenge is for us now to go ahead and really, in a grassroots kind of a way, really acquire what we are acquiring, a real process of building. Because in those opportunities of spiritual inspiration are wonderful. And we have to try to grab them and take full advantage of them. Not only in Tishrei, in the different opportunities that we have throughout the year as well. But at the same time, that's not what really does it. What really builds us up in a solid way. What really turns us into, what builds our character, what builds our spiritual building within us, is the day to day, during away from the spotlight, the quiet times, which sometimes are labeled as routine, and sometimes can seem cold and dry, and possibly boring, but that's where it's really taking place. That's what the Rebbe Akiva Tzad speaks about, this process. Just to go through the points that are underlined, I have to head towards finishing up. He writes, and that is the secret of life. A person is inspired artificially at the beginning of any phase of life, but to acquire the depth of personality which is demanded of us, Hashem removes the inspiration. The danger is apathy and depression. The challenge is to fight back to the point of inspiration, and in so doing, to build it permanently into one's character. I made a reference to my wedding before, as far as the Badek, and I remember also the guy who prepared our video after the wedding included on his own at the end of the video, the last scene. I remember watching it for the first time, like, saying he put it on his own. The closing scene at the end of the wedding was, this is not the end, this is just the beginning. Right? But it's the end of the stage one, of the fanfare and the music and all the excitement, that's of inspiration. You have that same process as well in any kind of relationship, right? In the paradigm of relationship of marriage, where then the real development of the relationship is day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. What's called, another term for this is itoruta de la tata and itoruta de la ela. We find in terms of, on a national level, there are times where, also again, the same kind of idea of excitement, of fanfare, of yitziat Mitzrayim. You have makos, you have miracles all over, you have Yam Suf opening up and all the excitement, and Miriam going ahead and grabbing musical instruments, and everything is tremendously, with tremendous excitement. That's called Yitorurut, an awakening, de la'elo, from up top, milamalo, that Hashem sends down to us. That flash of lightning. But that's not where real growth takes place. Afterwards, when that's taken away from, when we don't have that anymore, the itoruta de la tata, the awakening afterwards, the real development of who we are is where the real productivity, the real growth and development takes place. Again, we can take advantage of that flash, the famous mashal of the flash of lightning in the middle of the night when we're walking through the forest and we're lost. We don't know exactly. Sometimes we feel in the long winter nights, the long winter months, sometimes we can feel a little bit lost, and we're looking for that extra, a flash of lightning that can light up the sky, even if it's only for a moment, to set us in our direction. But afterwards, we have to take the steps forward. And that's the process from the beginning of life as well. The Gemara in Nida, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, speaks about the famous idea that we all know. The famous Gemara that describes the situation of a fetus inside its mother's womb, in this ideal kind of a state, where the underlying portions ner doluk lo al rosho. So this. The fetus inside its mother's womb has a candle on top of his head. He looks from one side of the world to the other, meaning he's like almost a Superman kind of a power of vision. Those are the best days. The most ideal days there in that situation. Umalam dimoto kola Torah kula. So he, everything is taken care of, as all of his food, and he's this kind of super being, and has a malach teaching him kol haTorah kula. The kevan shabala avira olam ba malach v'sotro al piv u'mashakcho kol haTorah kula. Then we're born, we forget kol haTorah kula. Ve'eino yotzei mishamat shemashbihin oto. He's told to, the child then, as it's born, is told to take a shavua. Umahi hashvua shamash biinoto tihi tzadik va'al tihi rasha. In other words, we're born from that situation of the external inspiration of the noise and the fanfare. We're born then, the moment of birth is the transition from Tishrei into Cheshvan, where all of a sudden it's silent, and all of a sudden we are, the nights get a little bit longer, and now we are expected to go ahead and grow and build step after step on our own in very real terms. Very beautiful idea that the Gra explains, says that it's a medrash that after 120 years we should all have long, healthy lives. Bezrat Hashem, after 120 years we come to Shemayim and we're greeted by a group of malachim. And the first malach, says the Gra, the first malach that greets us says, Shalom Aleichem, where is all of the Torah that I taught you when you were inside the womb? In other words, let's see what you did on your own now to accomplish what you did for yourself. So those are the three points of silence that we wanted to speak about. And halavai, this is the beginning. Cheshvan is the beginning. This is not the end. This is only the beginning. And halavai, that through our focus, our perseverance, our drive to accomplish in all areas, Mein Adam L'Makom, Mein Adam L'Chaveiro, a connection, deeper connection to Am Yisrael, a deeper connection to Eretz Yisrael, a deeper connection to Tefillah, a deeper connection to Chagim, to Shabbat, to the world of Torah Mitzvot. Bezrat Hashem, now over these months, we'll experience real, in real terms, growth and development that will eventually bring us to the point at the end of the winter. Towards the end of the winter, then we hit a Chodesh, we hit Shvat, where there's already the blossoming, like Rav Kook was speaking about. When you go through the process of respecting that, having the wisdom to respect the side of development that takes place during these moments of Shtika, then there's Nivsvatayim, the fruits of Shvat, the fruits of all of our accomplishment that brings us then to the Simcha of Adar, the tremendous Simcha that we have looking back at all of our accomplishments. Bezat Hashem, Chodesh Tov, and a Chorev Tov, Bezat Hashem, Shilchem, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you. Have a good night.